calendar is ready, and it is State versus Gauntz.
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Mary Swift here on behalf of Mr. Gauntz. I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. Only statutorily authorized restitution may be ordered. The restitution statute at issue here clearly distinguishes between injury on the one hand and mental anguish on the other. The only restitution awardable with regards to mental anguish is the cost of counseling reasonably related to the offense. Lost wages cannot be rewarded as a result of mental anguish. At best, the statute is ambiguous as to whether injury includes mental anguish. Gauntz gets the benefit of that ambiguity through the rule of lenity, and is therefore asking this court to vacate the restitution order with regard to Ms. Harris and Ms. Strong's lost wages resulting from their emotional distress. Now, I'd like to address the state's reliance on the legislative history.
Well, before you do that, you've just told us your argument, but you have to look at the statute and the statutory language in order to support that argument.
Right.
So we have different phrases that are set out in the statute where the court says where the legislature says the court shall order restitution. And do you take the position that reasonably ascertainable modifies lost wages, and what is your position about whether lost wages is a separate category from the damages delineation that the legislature has identified?
I believe easily ascertainable applies to each of the clauses based on the case law that I've read. For instance, there's case law stating that future earnings are not easily ascertainable as lost wages.
Well, if you're referring to the Lewis case, I think the Lewis case made a distinction between lost wages that the legislature has contemplated are ascertainable, and they've used the past tense versus future damages that are not, future lost wages that are not ascertainable. Is that what you're referring to?
Right, certainly. And so that's
so there's a distinction that the court made in Lewis between damages and lost wages. There's a distinction that Lewis made between damages that are not reasonably ascertainable and lost wages, which are separate and are, that's earned money that has already been determined.
Right, and I think the difficulty here is that the legislature recognizes that emotional distress and mental anguish are difficult to quantify. There's causation problems often.
If you look at the language, that's related to damages. It's not related to lost wages. Lost wages are not defined as damages.
Right, yeah, damages for injury to loss, or damages for injury to or loss of property.
Right, but that lost wages is separate.
Right. That would be in dispute whether that easily ascertainable is applicable to each of those clauses.
Well, whether it is or not, you have separate clauses, do you not?
Right, absolutely. I scoured the case law yesterday looking for some idea of what the courts think about this language, and the bottom line seems to be with regards to this issue is nobody's really answered it, and the language is muddy. It's not really clear. We know that the legislature is trying to avoid tort litigation at restitution hearings with this clause about other intangible losses. In this case, we have this sort of strange workaround of that, those intangible losses now being applied to lost wages, which sort of defeats the legislature's intent of not making this a tort litigation. Again, we have causation problems.
Well, it seemed as though there was no dispute that there was a causal connection between the mental anguish and the crime.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, Your Honor.
Well, you may not now, but you certainly didn't say anything in your brief.
Well, certainly it was litigated below. For instance, Ms. Harris was diagnosed with adjustment disorder, which is essentially an overly strong response to an emotional event, which again goes to the difficulty of this type of determination at a restitution hearing rather than a civil jury in a tort case making these determinations.
But it's in the context of lost wages.
Again, though, we have this legislature making a distinction between injury on the one hand and mental anguish on the other.
The legislature is making a distinction between reasonably ascertainable and intangible losses.
Well, I would point this court to the distinction between the clauses, for instance, treatment for injury to persons, and then costs of counseling reasonably related to the offense. Now, that latter clause was added to the statute in 1987, and it's essentially superfluous if this court reads the statute in the way the state is recommending, because if injury to persons includes mental anguish, then that cost of counseling essentially isn't necessary because that would be encompassed by treatment for injury to persons. And so we have to also look at why the legislature added that language may include the cost of counseling reasonably related to the offense.
Now, one of your major arguments in your brief is that that lost wages for injury only relates to physical injury.
Right, and I agree that the legislature has removed that language from the statute in the legislative history, and perhaps there's another case where there could be a different type of injury. But again, we have this.
And what type of injury would that be?
You know, I spent some time thinking about that yesterday, and there's some case law on that seems to still limit it. For instance, I believe Halson is the case where you have a father who spends a significant amount of time looking for his kidnapped daughter. And if my recollection serves me, the court said that would not be an injury that would result, you know, be allowable recovery for lost wages. So essentially, that's not the question that's before this court. It's whether mental anguish is injury and the statute is not clear. Thank you.
May it please the court, my name is Kristen Relier, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney for King County representing the state of Washington. This court should affirm the restitution order for three reasons. First, because the plain language of the statute authorizes lost wages based on emotional injury. Second, because the legislative history confirms a broad definition of injury. And third, because adopting the defense construction would lead to absurd results. Turning first to the language of the statute, which is where we always must start, I disagree with counsel. I do not think the language here is muddy. I think it is quite clear that lost wages are authorized because they are based on easily ascertainable damages.
So do you take the position that reasonably ascertainable modifies all three clauses?
I do, yes. And with regards to the point about counseling costs, it makes sense to me that the legislature would have carved that out in 1987 because it fits with easily ascertainable. Counseling costs are essentially medical bills. They are easily ascertainable. I certainly agree that mental anguish, emotional distress, that isn't easily ascertainable. That was one of the points I was trying to make in my brief, that it's fundamentally different to award lost wages based on post-traumatic stress disorder, for example. That's fundamentally different than trying to quantify and put a dollar amount on how much post-traumatic stress is worth and how much it costs to that person.
Well, how do you distinguish that from then trying to determine lost wages that result from mental anguish?
Because mental anguish, and when you look at the phrase and the way the statute's written, it says mental anguish, pain and suffering, or other intangible losses. They're intangible. It's hard to quantify them. That's what this court said in Landrum. That's different than lost wages, even if they're based on emotional injury.
Why?
Because you can look at the bookkeeper's billing. Here it was L&I. And you can figure out how much was that person supposed to be paid. They didn't show up to work in this case because they were both victims Harris and victim Strong, quite traumatized by Mr. Gontz's, frankly, reprehensible behavior at the hospital. And so because of that, they missed work, and we can easily quantify how much wages were lost by the time that they missed.
Even though the trauma is not easily ascertainable?
Yes.
Why?
Because, honestly, how do you put a dollar value on the trauma, for instance?
Well, I don't think you're putting a dollar value on the trauma. What you're looking at is lost wages and injury. And so the question is whether injury includes the, as you've acknowledged, the intangible mental anguish.
I believe that it does. And I would have...
Whether you believe it or not, what's the basis for your position?
The 1982 legislative amendment. It is very clear that when the legislature struck the word physical modifying injury, that the legislature intended to broaden the definition of injury.
Then how do you reconcile that with the next clause that excludes mental anguish?
Because mental anguish is an intangible loss. It's like emotional distress damages in tort cases. And emotional distress damages, from the limited reading I could do, I'm certainly not a tort lawyer, are available in certain limited circumstances and certain types of claims. That's a very different ball of wax. It's apples and oranges. Lost wages are easily ascertainable. We can look and figure out.
Is that because the legislature is making a distinction between damages and lost wages?
They might be. I mean, that's certainly the language they use. They talk about damages. Restitution shall not include reimbursement for damages for mental anguish, pain, and suffering. They list it out that way.
Well, isn't that important?
Yes, I think it is. I think the language here is the touchstone. And when you look at the definition of injury, which is not defined by the statute, so we go to the dictionary definition, it's quite broad. It's an act or event that causes someone to no longer be fully healthy or in good condition. There is no physical limitation in that dictionary definition, and that's where we turn when we have an undefined term. Here, there's no question that the defendant's actions resulted in injury to the victims. He was barreling down the hallway, hurling death threats, racial epithets, and sexist slurs.
We know the facts.
I only mention them to point out that his behavior that day caused injury to the victims, Harris and Strong, and they missed work because of those injuries. It was Ms. Strong's doctor, her primary care provider, that recommended she take a week off of work, and that's what she did. And then it was Ms. Harris who went to counseling and tried to work through it, but then, unfortunately, Mr. Gontz kept coming back to the hospital where she worked because his wife continued to have pregnancy complications. So that's why she was moved to the Bellevue Hospital, so that she wouldn't have to encounter him. What the defense
is what you've just represented about the complications and coming back to the hospital, is that in the record?
Yes.
Where?
Yes. If you can just give me a moment. It's at pages 42 to 43.
Thank you.
You're welcome. What the defense is essentially asking you to do is to read the word physical into the statute. The defense is essentially asking you to read...
Well, I think the defense is asking us to exclude mental anguish or mental pain and suffering from injury related to lost wages. I think that's what they're asking.
Well, how I read the defense's brief, but I understand it might be a little bit different here today, but how I read it was the injury is limited to physical.
No, that they're very clear about that in the brief, but I think the argument today is more nuanced.
Okay, but it's unclear to me, and when you asked counsel, what other injury would there be if it's not an emotional injury or a mental injury, what other type of injury would be recoverable? And I think this court should honor the legislature's intent when it eliminated physical as the modifier before injury, it's clear that the legislature intended a broad definition of injury. I also believe that adopting the defense's approach would lead to absurd and strained results. The overall purpose of the restitution statute is to compensate victims for their injuries and to hold defendants accountable for the consequences of their actions. Subsection 5 of the same statute requires courts to order restitution, quote, whenever an offender is convicted of an offense that results in injury, unquote. There's no modifier, there's no qualification, it just says injury.
Do you know anything about why the legislature adopted that amendment that removed the word physical? Were they responding to a case or a lobbying effort or what?
I couldn't find anything in the legislative history. I certainly looked. But it's interesting to me that they did it the year after the restitution statute was enacted, and they haven't touched it since in the last 35 years.
Oh, is that right? So this was just a year after the...
Yes.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes. I would note here that a broad definition of injury does not necessarily open up a Pandora's box or lead to a slippery slope. Trial courts are still expected to exercise their discretion. That's exactly what the trial court judge did here.
Well, there has to be a causal connection.
Of course. And there was here. And defense hasn't challenged that. But I'm just pointing out that here, victim Harris actually sought 4 months of lost wages, and the trial court did not award 4 months. The trial court awarded 3 months because the trial court thought two things. One, that the amount of lost wages should be limited to the time that Mrs. Gauntz was still expecting. So once she was in February had delivered, Ms. Harris shouldn't be able to get her March wages. And also the trial court just made a judgment that 3 months was a, quote, reasonable period of time, unquote, for this victim, Ms. Harris, after hearing her testimony, to sufficiently heal and return to work.
But isn't that putting the trial court into the position of having to ascertain what the damages are and taking us into that world that we're trying to avoid here and make sure these are easily ascertainable?
No. The trial court always has to determine whether or not there are easily ascertainable losses. And here there were, because the trial court was presented with the lost wages in front of him. And after hearing Ms. Harris's testimony and considering it and recognizing that there was really no chance Mr. Gauntz was going to come back to the hospital where Ms. Harris worked after his wife delivered. I don't think it does. I don't think it gets into trying to get into the forbidden territory, frankly, of mental anguish and trying to put a dollar amount on that type of loss. I would ask this court to affirm the trial court's restitution order. Thank you.
Thank you.
Judge Mann, I think you made a great point. The trial court itself recognized there was some, quote, fuzziness with regard to the lost wages and whether these wages are...
Well, there's no fuzziness as to the lost wages. We know she wasn't at work, and we know the dollar amount. So if there's fuzziness, it's fuzziness related to the award as related to the mental anguish.
Right. I mean, that you're right, Your Honor. And that's where exactly the trial court is wading into this sort of morass of tort law. Well, 3 months seems like an appropriate amount of time for her to recover from this incident.
Well, it was based on the testimony. And the documentation. I think there was documentation that was submitted.
Yes. And again, this just raises this whole issue of whether particularly Ms. Harris's response, you know, overly sort of exaggerated response to the event was appropriate under the statute, which asked the trial court to make this determination that should be reserved for civil juries, that the legislature has recognized should be determined by civil juries.
But the statute also allows for an award of counseling costs.
Right, and we haven't.
And wouldn't you have the same kind of question for the trial court there? Well, I went to counseling for a year. Well, I think 3 months would have been enough. Well, I'll give you counseling costs for 3 months.
Well, certainly the trial court still has to exercise its discretion in what it considers a reasonable award of restitution.
Isn't that the same mental exercise, though, as the one that you're saying is not allowed by the statute?
Well, except the cost of counseling is expressly authorized by the statute. And here we have something that's not expressly authorized by the statute, and we have a primarily punitive statute that then must be strictly construed in Mr. Gauntz's favor. And a restitution award can only be imposed where it's statutorily authorized. And again, I think at best here, the language is not clear whether that injury includes mental anguish, where we have the legislature expressly excluding awards for mental anguish. Again, the result in this case is essentially a workaround of what the legislature has expressly excluded as an award of restitution. If the legislature wants to make the language more clear, it can. But for now, the benefit of that ambiguity goes to Mr. Gauntz. So we ask this court to reverse. Thank you.
Thank you.